Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, November 10th, 2020.
Bitcoin is up just about 1% to 15,402. Ethereum is up 2.5% to 462 on a real tear. Ethereum's killing it.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that handles all of your back office needs. With Bitwave, you can do tax tracking, DeFi investment monitoring, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, so up first, Pat, is it a zero-sum game? Meaning DeFi has been in decline and Bitcoin booms. Are those related? Is it a trend? Is it too early to tell?
Yeah, it's certainly been striking. The DeFi market's way down. Most of the major coins within the markets are down. Most of the current indices are down within the DeFi market. Bitcoin is hitting record highs for the year and record highs for the last 2 years, 3 years, something like that. I think that it tends to be there's two parts. I still think of Ethereum as the big boy in the DeFi world. So Ethereum is doing just fine. Ethereum demand is driven primarily by, there's like Ethereum more so than Bitcoin. Ethereum has two sort of major demand centers. Places where demand is being generated. Bitcoin has investors and people that want to spend it. Ethereum has all of that, but then Ethereum also has people who are spending gas. So as goes Ethereum gas, so goes people buying Ethereum. And I think that's a lot to do when we've seen, really high gas fees. That is all related. People are buying Ethereum to spend it. That increases both congestion on the network as well as demand for Ethereum, which also drives the price up. So I don't think it's fair to say that when the DeFi and Bitcoin are inversely correlated. I think that there's been a general souring on some of the DeFi projects as of late. We'll talk about a few of them later. There's been a lot of fraud. There's been a lot of hacks. I think that all of that less so, people's making a conscious choice between Bitcoin and DeFi, and more so, I think DeFi is in a bit of a slump because of all of the shenanigans, I guess, that have been going on lately. But I think, the other side of this is that crypto in general is a rising tide raises all boats kind of thing. So from an external perspective, so when people start hearing about Bitcoin and they put money into crypto, they're kind of peanut buttering around. Bitcoin gets a lot of it, but a lot of other cryptos get it because people are just sort of fun like that. It's only the people that are like hardcore in crypto. I think the numbers we looked at have been like 15,000, 20,000 people that are really, using DeFi or really exploiting that stuff. It's those people that are kind of making intelligent, informed decisions between Bitcoin and other DeFi products. Maybe they're kind of making choices right now. So with Bitcoin going up, maybe they're doing it. But I think what you see more is you're seeing dumps into like Uniswap's WBTC, WETH pool. That's a great investment right now. If you're bullish on crypto, putting it into the liquidity pool for WETH and WBTC gives you exposure to both assets in a pretty good balance. I don't really think that's accurate. I think there are other externalities on the DeFi market right now versus just people wanting to put into Bitcoin.
Okay, very interesting. Next, Quadriga CX coin-appointed trustee ENY wants to settle all the user claims as of the April 2019 prices.
Yeah, so everyone will remember Quadriga was the Canadian exchange that essentially went into bankruptcy because the founder died on his honeymoon in India under allegedly suspicious circumstances. It's terrible to, hypothetically theorize on someone's life, but at the end of the day, he disappeared with access to a lot of money. And there were some suspicious transactions and afterwards. So there's a lot of suspicion around here. The laws in Canada essentially say that at the point at which the business went bankrupt is when you will make any decisions about the liabilities and how you sell those liabilities. So they're basically taking that date is when it officially kind of went bankrupt, quote unquote, that's when they sort of finally acknowledged they weren't going to be able to get back the keys. That was the other big suspicious thing is that he was the only person who had access to the keys. or was like a laptop. It was like a laptop that had the keys on it or something. There was a lot of suspicious stuff about it. And so they had to settle at that point. Now, the problem is, of course, the claims, you know, if you lose Bitcoin was around $8,500 in April, and it's around $15,000 now. So it's about, you know, it's about 100% more now, just about. So that if you're making claims, that's an issue. It's not the biggest issue in the world, honestly, because at the end of the day, you're not going to get made fully whole from Quadriga. Quadriga lost money. You are going to get you as an investor who used Quadriga, get a portion of the proceeds, and that portion will be proportionate to how much you had in the exchange at the time that it went bankrupt. So where this really affects people would be if people were holding on to long shot tokens. I'm thinking like Ren or Synthetics were around back then. And so you're holding on to Ren that went from, you know, 1 cent to 50 cents or something like that. You're not going to see a proportionate distribution as you would today, even though you should by all rights have access to those funds. So the proportionality won't be exactly right, but overall it's probably the only fair way to do it. I don't think it'd be fair to like theoretically extend out if people had access to the coins, what they would have done if they would have held or not held. I think that's unreasonable. So seems like a good way to kind of handle it. And it seems to line up with Canadian rules.
All right. Very interesting. Next, Tether is in the news again with a filing in an ongoing case involving them and Bitfinex. Pat, give us some more details.
Yeah, so there's a outstanding litigation against Bitfinex and Tether by a series of people. And I don't think it's quite a class action, but it's kind of sneaking that direction. It's sort of like five or six plaintiffs right now that are claiming both fraud from Bitfinex and Tether as well as market manipulation. We'll post a story to this. This came out of one of the Reddit, the BTC group, which is the Bitcoin Cash group on Reddit, subreddit on the allegations are far reaching. It is worth reading the complaint because it is it's hard to tell if it's totally true yet. I mean, they are still allegations. There is nothing that has been completely proven one way or the other. I tend to believe them, which is why we're reporting on them. It is very suspicious the way Tether gets printed when there tends to be movements in Bitcoin prices in particular. So the allegations as put forth in the complaint are that Tether was printed essentially during periods of movement of Bitcoin, either to push Bitcoin up to new highs or to artificially set floors. So when you were seeing a crash in the Bitcoin price, Tether would be printed and it would set a floor and they would buy up at that floor to basically buoy Bitcoin. That's what's being alleged. This particular filing had to do with Bitfinex and Tether obviously motion to dismiss this. They don't really like this case. This was plaintiff response to it. So we'll keep our eye on this. I always like salute the Bitcoin Cash, the subreddit BTC, because they try to stay up on this stuff. They don't like Tether as a whole, I would say, for very good reason. There's no reason to believe that Tether is actually fully backed by USD at this point. Like it would be incredibly difficult for me to believe that. So they're suspicious of it, and they keep a tight eye on it. So we'll tweet that link out. Go and give it a read. It's pretty interesting. You know, make up your own decisions about your risk tolerance for Tether.
All right. So I think that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. Have a good one.
Have a good one, everybody.